Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, if y'all missed our earlier program, you've got to be able to catch it. Rapidly covering some things that are taking place. And we talked about, what does it look like when they're stealing these women and forcing them to be their brides in Islam over in Kyrgyzstan mm-hmm. and over in the Middle East. We actually have video footage showing it taking place. And it just breaks your heart, but it wakes you up to Nehemiah when he said we had no control even over our own bodies.
Wow.
And it wakes you up to the heart of Nehemiah. You've got to listen to that. How to rebuild the walls of the church in America again. Talking about also an earlier program, our previous program, you got to go catch it, about how, you know, $1.8 million is being spent by the Center of Faith and Future Storytelling organization to lead 75 congregations into the 21st century faith communities over the next 2 years. In other words, you know, this, we're meant to be family. You can find out more about that by going to vfntv.com. But just set your DVRs in too. You can record, for those that are in CTN, you can record it and watch it. The DVR is just a wonderful thing to be able to yeah. watch it at the time you want to watch it. Or just go at vfntv.com. It's available there as well and on your app. Man, we talked about this on a previous program about this school where the parents went onto the football
yes.
field and knelt down and prayed. It's a powerful thing. You can see that video too on the VFN Torch at vfntv.com. But I can't get over the very fact that this school's name. I mean, I was like focusing and I was trying to be, you know, to deliver this thing. And I'm trying to think, man, a high school's name is Licking Valley High School.
Hmm.
L-I-C-K-I-N-G, Licking Valley. I mean, kids are ruthless. I can imagine, you know, it's like, these are the teachers for Licking Valley and the principal for Licking Valley and the Licking Valley cheerleaders and the Licking Valley volleyball team. Mm-hmm. And like Pat, the croquet team he was on.
Right,
and
right.
Badminton, the...
Chess.
Yeah. And so the Licking Valley Chess Club. And it's like, I mean, think about that. Where did they come up with that? You know, I guess that's why they used the initials when they were talking about
that's
the school.
Right.
LVHS. LVHS.
That's where we go. LVHS.
But you'd think, right. I mean, you would think that a high school would have a thesaurus.
You would think.
But I'm sure, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I'm sure that Mr. Licking was the biggest donator when they were
No doubt.
School.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Of all the heroes.
Keep the name.
Of
Keep
all the
name.
Heroes in our community, it had to be Mr. Licking. Everything. You got the Licking Library. You got the Licking Town Hall. You got the Licking High School. You know,
okay.
Oh, wow. Okay, moving on.
Yes, thank you.
Moving
I'm
on.
Not moving there.
I was just shocked. I couldn't believe. I would change it.
LVHS.
LVHS. Have you been to LVHS? Are you talking about Licking? I said yes. Man, if you missed the beginning talk about being handled, you got to hear it because it's talking about the handling of canine dogs when officers, any human being at all that's handling a dog, but say a police officer handles a canine dog, there's a process in how that dog gets under their handling. But then when they switch to a new officer, there's processes of how to be handled. And they go through these steps and you can find out more about it, the VFN Torch. But when that dog is being transferred and handled and transferred under new leadership, a new master, then these handlers would trade off, and there's a process. And if they do it right, the dog's loyal to the next master.
Mm-hmm.
And America's being handled right now. I mean, it is. Mm-hmm. We are you know, being frisked. You know, we are being handled.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And if you don't understand it, you can be very frustrated thinking about this whole thing logically. You could think like, that doesn't make sense.
Mm.
That doesn't make sense. That's not right. That's not what the Constitution says. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what I said.
Yeah.
But after about 3 or 4 years, you know, you start going like, it doesn't make any difference what really is. It makes makes a difference to realize who we are and what's going on right now. We're being handled. Something's going on. Why are we being handled over to something?
Mm-hmm.
Why is God handing us over to something? Can we stop this? And you think about it. If God was unmerciful, and he's not, he's full of mercy, and he had no grace, and he's full of grace for us, and all he wants us to do is just go, you're God, I'm not, I'm sorry, I'm following you, forgive me, I've sinned against you, I've sinned against others, dear God, forgive me, I'm going to be your disciple and follow you, then this handling will stop, the storm will stop, and these things will stop. But if he just wanted us just to, if he was just going to just dump us off into something, why would there be this long process of hand? I mean,
yeah.
It gives us a chance to realize, to go, hey, I'm being handled.
Mm-hmm.
Then we start pondering, now, why are people lying right now? Why is the leadership blind? Why are they going against God? Why are all these things that God said don't do, that the very ones that in these places of leadership used to agree with God, they're saying like, go do it. We're being handled. This is what it's all about, right? Mm-hmm. Then you start thinking, I'm in sin. That's how it works. I've sinned. And this is really, that's why, I mean, think about it. If not, he just would dump us right off into this thing. But this whole, I mean, I know that I've been prophesying for a long time, and now we're coming to this thing. It's like, this didn't just start yesterday. And here we are getting close to it, but there's still this mercy window of us just to go, they're not crazy. I am.
Hmm.
They're not. It's not their darkness. It's my darkness. It's not their sin. It's my sin. Yes, a storm is being fastened against me. God even said, when I send this plague and locusts and this stuff, if you turn to me, I'll stop all this stuff and I'll forgive you. And you just, and all of a sudden we're able to go, that's what that, because you think about, you know, people that are very religious, like, let them have it, God. But if you understand we are them, like Rick Joyner in his book, I don't remember which book it was, maybe it was The Final Quest. No, it was The Call. When the prophecy and the three armies, and the first army was a mess, and the second army was somewhat better, and the third army was mm-hmm. ideal. And so Jesus asks him in this vision, what do you want to do with the first army? He's like, just knock them off. Just, I can't, I'm just disappointed in them.
Right.
And then, of course, Jesus says to Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, he goes, this is you. This is the church. You know, we haven't even entered into the second layer yet at that point when it was written, and then the third army. And so, you know, this is our issues. And so this time is like a mercy window. But we have to understand, we have to begin to identify, what do these handlers look like? I guess that would be the question. What do the handlers look like? And you have to understand, it's not a handler that's outside of us that really determines us. It's the handlers that have come inside. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about it, because Jude, which means Jew, that this book Jude begins to describe the handlers, what the handlers look like. And he talks about how they slipped in amongst us.
Hmm.
And then he gives us some identifying characteristics. In other words, this is who's really handling us. It's not the ones that don't even know God. It's the ones that say they do know God, but they're lying. It's the ones that say they do follow Jesus, but they don't. It's the ones that say they are with you, and they're totally against you. But we're going to find out, because Jude talks about the characteristics of these ones who slipped in, because we got to begin to contend with the faith, contend for the faith. But we cannot contend for faith, first of all, we're not in. Secondly, we cannot be unequally yoked with people who are not in the faith. We have to identify those who are handlers, who are trying to be used by the adversary. And there's this one book coming out, I don't know, I can't tell you the name of it right now, The Cauldron, The Devil's Cauldron. And this guy was, I mean, he worshiped Lucifer. But one of his jobs was he would slip in amongst mm-hmm. the church, and he would, you know, turn it against itself. And he was consciously doing this. He would consciously go in there and do this. Well, I mean, there's plenty of people doing that. They aren't aware of it. They're like Peter, when Peter said, don't go to Jerusalem, and Peter was shocked that Lucifer used him mm-hmm. at that moment. That's how most things are happening, but it's still happening. But we have to understand that there's those that have slipped in amongst us, and everybody believes. If anybody says, you know, I'm a Christian, it's like, it's amazing. Like, oh, they're a Christian, you know? Or, you know, as long as you can give people an address of where you go to church, even though you may not even go there, I'm on the roll somewhere.
Somewhere.
And it's like, everybody just believes it. when we're warned that there's going to be people, handlers, that slip in amongst us, and we got to be able to identify them so we can actually walk in the faith and contend for the faith together with those who actually want the faith. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I have many ministers, and they are speaking on my behalf. But he said, what's missing is the urgency of their voice. These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington may can do that and lead you to believe that everything's going to be okay. But in the house of God, there's got to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out! Warning! Warning! Red light! Warning! People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find him in the church, where are they going to find him? I have a question. Where is the urgency?
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
You can learn some profound lessons from your child. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Ken Sandy, who says that he learned a great insight from his six-year-old.
I remember one time my son broke a figurine. It was one I gave to Corlette at our engagement. And I was angry, and I spoke to him sharply, and he said he was sorry, but I wasn't ready to forgive him. I went into my study, and a couple minutes later, he walks in, reaches out his hands, open them up, and all these pennies and nickels and quarters fall on the table. He said, Daddy, I emptied my piggy bank, and I hope this is enough to buy a new thing for Mommy. If it's not, I'll get a job.
That's a wonderful story of a boy who was truly repentant. You know, sometimes God gets our attention in some unusual ways. And to learn more about forgiveness, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day. We're 24/7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2 hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to look at some characteristics so that we could contend for the faith. We're in a time right now in America, in the world, but America, the key now is for us to contend for our faith, not contend for any political party, contend for your way or your stuff, your idea. We need to contend for our faith. That's what's at risk here, is our faith. And Jude talks about it. Jude, it's only one chapter, but verse 3 says, he writes to him, he says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation that we share, I felt compelled." That's what I feel. I feel compelled to talk to you about this. "I felt compelled to write and to urge you to contend for your faith." So at this particular time, they're actually saying, listen, you're going to have to contend. I mean, we got to be contenders. We cannot be cowards.
Pretenders.
We cannot be pretenders. I mean, we got to contend. First of all, we got to have faith. Then we have to, you can't contend for something that you don't have. You can't, nobody contends for religion. If they do, they look a lot like what we saw in an earlier program with that forced marriage and all that stuff, a religious spirit. But if you contend for the faith, your faith in Jesus Christ, we got to begin to understand that's what he wants us, God wants us to do. And he says, I felt compelled to write to you, this is the book of Jude, and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. And this is what I want to talk about. He says, for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. I mean, think about that. So our issue, when we're contending for the faith, their issue is not what's happening outside our gatherings. What's happening inside our gathering is our issue. God didn't call us to judge the world. He's going to judge the world. He called us to deal with ourselves.
That's right.
And he's saying, I'm writing to you, you're going to have to contend with the faith. The reason why you're going to have to contend with the faith, not what's outside of you, is what slipped in among you. We have a segment that you have, I don't know if you saw it or not, but you can see it on the VFN Torch, where there's atheists, self-professing atheists, over mega, quote, churches, unquote, who's saying they couldn't find another trade. It's like, you can't.
This is not a trade.
But how many people, really, that's the level of their faith. Yeah. I'm just being religious.
Yeah.
And he said, they slipped in amongst you. And so if we're going to contend for the faith, it's not somebody out there who don't want Jesus Christ. It's the one next to you who says they love Jesus, but they don't want anything to do with what his expectations of them.
So true.
And so he gives us some identifying characteristics, but Acts talks about it too. Paul talked about that in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. He says, listen, he says, keep watch over yourselves. In other words, us, ourselves together. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. So he's talking again about us, not the people who aren't the church, but he says us. He said, be shepherds of God's flock. Watch over them because he bought them with his blood. In other words, that's our responsibility to look over them. And then he says, I know. I mean, this is Paul who had a third heaven revelation, just like Jude talks about when he's writing, I urge you. He says, I know. He says, I know that after I leave, so-and-so is going to rise up. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will, he said, will come in amongst you and will not spare the flock. In other words, it's going to happen. So you're going to have to keep watch over that. And we just need to know the attributes. What do these guys look like? He says, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw disciples after them. So be on your guard and remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each of you, night and day with tears, that this is a reality, that what Jude was talking about is a reality. And so this is serious business because you have somebody standing by somebody who they both call themselves Christians, and one person really believes that this other person's a Christian, and the person who's not a Christian doesn't really care. They're very religious, or they've convinced themselves they are, or they're deceived, but they're not following God at all, haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And they're both standing by side by side, standing, contending for the faith, while the one who loves God's going, you know, exactly what God says in the word, and they stand up, and the person beside them goes, you know, did God really say that? I mean, is that how it really has to be? Does marriage really have to be that way? Did he say, really don't eat from this tree? Did he say, you know, that you really can't, you know? And it's like, you're distorting the truth here. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, I thought we were together. Or you might say, like Eve, we go, yeah, we've been walking together for quite some time, Bob. And let's get a copy, you know, coffee and talk about that. You know, I want to talk about that. Yeah, I just want to hear all your unbelief. Just pour it into my ears and just, you got to contend with your faith. And so he begins to explain here more in the book of Jude, chapter 4. He says, they are ungodly people, these ones who slipped in. They're ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. In other words, that there's, you know, Jesus is holy and he is a way, but there's a lot of other ways to be able to get to God. And, and they pervert, in other words, yes, there's grace. I mean, God didn't have grace, I couldn't be here. I couldn't be here. Every day he has given me a grace to be able to walk on, and it's only because of his undeserved favor in my walking. But it's not a license for me to rebel against him and just give myself over to sin. And it says these particular individuals, this is an attribute of them, one of the characteristics of those who slipped in, who Paul warned for 3 years with tears, who we have to contend for our faith from people that are amongst us. It's crazy, but you're like, oh my goodness, are you a weed? You know what I'm saying? You're like, you're in the midst of this thing and you're trying to take us down. You know, and it's amazing how religious these ones who slipped in are, that they can throw you off when you're just trying to walk with God. And they're like this steep religion thing going on. It's like, they do know more scripture, but they sure are mean, you know? And so it's a license for immorality. So they actually say, you know what? Let's just go have a meeting. Let's have a board meeting. Let's have a denominational meeting. Let's get together and let's vote on whether the fact that we want to believe that anymore. If you know, the church is kind of behind the times, and we got to catch up with culture, and people who don't read the Bible don't realize that Jesus, the word of God says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, do not be conformed to culture.
All right.
And so they go, okay, let's have a meeting. And they go, oh man, you know, yeah, our church used to believe that way, but we voted. So this is kind of what, it's like, you can't do that. You're not contending for the faith. You have to say, you know, whatever that was, it's not the church. That's the ones who slipped in amongst the church. Then he goes on and talks more about him in verse 5. He says, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who didn't believe. I mean, he's telling this in the New Testament. He's going, listen, I want to remind you, there's a big crowd of folks that comes along. You know, why does this road that leads this way? But there's going to be a point in time, it's going to get really narrow. Because some people are not believers, they're not going to go that way. And if you're thinking because everybody calls himself a Christian that they are, and you're opening yourself up and making yourself vulnerable, and your faith vulnerable, and your family vulnerable, and your marriage vulnerable, and your business and your church vulnerable to these folks, that you could be taken down. You're not watching and praying, and you could be taken down. You have to be aware. you know a person by their fruit. I mean, if you love God, you love God, and it's obvious. Mm-hmm. Not because you say you love God, it's because you do. So God delivered them all, but he did not let them all come out. He destroyed the unbeliever in the wilderness. So he's reminding, there's people that walk amongst you that are not going to be in eternity with you in heaven. And then he goes on to verse 6, he says, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwellings, their proper places, these have been kept in darkness, bound for everlasting chains for judgment on that great day. He's still going, listen, you know, even the angels who didn't understand this, and they are in chains. Mm. Okay. They were the ones that got delivered, who cried out because they were in bondage in Egypt. Everybody got delivered outside of Egypt in the bondage, but everybody didn't say, I want to follow God. They got the benefits of as if everybody was. But it come to the end, God says, you know, you're not dressed in the gown of salvation. You know, you're not part of us. And boom, went. And then he goes on again and he says, and in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves over or up to sexual immorality and perversion. This is so important because it's not that we sin. We all sin and fall short. But what they did was they gave themselves up to it. In other words, they just said, I'm just here. I am giving it. This is it. You know, whatever. Great rebellion, great sexual sins. Like this is just who I am. And they just gave themselves over to it. So it's not the fact that, you know, and in this society today, in the overture of all this, you know, temptations and stuff, everybody's getting bombarded like Sodom and Gomorrah imagery and all these things are going on. But that's good that you're fighting and that you're seeking repentance and you're turning from it and you're seeking God for direction. That's not somebody who's given themselves over to it. That's somebody that just said, this is it. This is who I am. This is where we're going to go. And in that way, so he says, in the same way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. He says, and they serve as an example. They serve as an example of those who will suffer punishment in eternal life. In other words, we saw the hell and the fiery brimstone, like Jonathan just saw in a dream just this week. Mm. You know, that he saw these fiery balls coming, just like the balls of fire that you read about in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but as Rick Joyner had said in Morningstar Ministries, that the whole world's about to go through hell.
That's right.
And the things that God's been sharing with us, you know, we're about to go through hell.
Yeah.
But it's always been that way in the context of, it's not for this life we live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's for the life beyond. The thing about it is when this whole world's going through hell, are we going to still be light? You know, if we're going to go to break, but if somebody's telling you that you know, all of a sudden there's going to be some sound and you're going to disappear, I mean, you're going to have to explain that to the woman who just got snatched out of the back of her car who was loyal to Jesus, that got forced to be a bride of this radical Islamic man in the Middle East, and say, well, how come she didn't get raptured away? And all of a sudden you, as 5% of the population and a smaller percentage of that, are talking about that you're not going to go through times of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're better than the teacher, and Jesus is the teacher. He talks about the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, there are seven trumpets in the book of Revelation, and I don't know the time. Jesus don't even know the time of the hour, but I'm just saying you got to prepare for this. You got to brace yourself because things are happening, and we contend for the faith by those that are around us. Sometimes Jesus said this, don't suppose I came to bring peace, but a sword. Members of your own household, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your children, you know, that the devil's got a hold of, and they're coming trying to you have to contend with your faith even in your own household. But you can't just surrender your faith. You got to contend for it. More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news, you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm. and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com. And I'm going to say, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together, so you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors, thank you to our partners, and God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about contending for the faith and what's taking place. We're like, we're being handled, but we're being handled from within. Mm-hmm. It's not outside. So we have to be able to identify what's taking place. And Jude talks about these characteristics. Paul talked about them. But in verse 8, he's talking about, in Jude, he says, in the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, talking about the ones that have infiltrated and slid in, that are not part of us, but yet they say they're part of us. In the same way, on their strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies. In other words, they say they have a dream or they say they have a vision. You know, got this vision over this whole thing. And they have this vision about, you know, read the vision. And what it was, this might as well be, you know, a local hospital's vision about how to be able to make this thing like a business and expand it out or whatever. But in it, that when you get into it, it's ungodly. You fall into sin. It's like when I got here, they called this a vision or a dream. But when I got here, I became more sinful. I became, and then I talked to people about my sin. Mm-hmm. And they go, well, me too. It's okay here. Mm. We voted on it. You know, yeah. And so when you find yourself in a gathering of folks and you're thinking, I used to not be this way. I used to not think this way. I used to not watch that, touch that, see that, go there. But now I feel myself doing it. And you shake yourself and you go to talk to other folks. And you think they don't, and you talk, they don't even have a, they're going like, what? What's wrong? You're thinking, wrong place for me, because if I stay here, I'm going to be lost. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be lost. And he starts talking about it. It says, in the same way, with their own visions and dreams, they pollute their own bodies. They reject authority. And this is a big one. This is a huge identifier. How do you respond to authority? They reject authority, you know, God's authority and what's happening and what he sets up. And they heap abuse on celestial beings. In other words, they just, you know, abusive towards angels and what they're saying. And, you know, that's my servant, you know, weird things people say. Hmm. But he says, even Michael, when he was disputing about the devil, with the devil, about Moses' body, he did not himself dare to just slander.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, the Lord rebukes you. Mm. We have to get our perspective right. When you see people saying, I, and, you know, I am God, or I am, you know, God Jr., and this is going to happen, and all these different things, you know, you got to watch out, because they have no power in themselves. It's God that has the power, and it's Christ in us, and we're submitted to God through the blood, directed by his Spirit. Anything else is in rebellion to God. And so you got to watch out for those things that are going on. But these are the ones that slipped in amongst us. And they mm-hmm. say, you know what? We just have to be community organizers. We got to get involved in this thing. We got to make social justice the reality. It's like, where's God in all this? Mm-hmm. Where's God in all this? And he said, yet these people, they slander, which means the act of being offensive or saying false things or malicious things or dangerous things about someone's reputation. He says, these people, they slander whatever they don't even understand. And so you have people, you can talk to them for an hour, and they're talking, it seems, about what they're talking about, and they're just having all these opinions about it.
Hmm.
And it's wrong what they're saying. It's not even wrong, meaning the fact is you can read the Bible, it doesn't say that. And they're just speaking with such apparent authority over it, and they're really slandering what God says. And he says, what they don't understand, this is how they talk. This is how you know. There's somebody's like, they're speaking like, da, 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 da. And you're like, wait a minute, that's not what God says. He doesn't say that. So you can know, it's like, okay. Okay, if I'm going to contend for the faith, this person's not going to be on my side.
Right.
I mean, you'll say things like, come on, let's go do this thing, and they won't move, right?
Mm-hmm.
They won't move, like the picnic thing.
Yeah.
And he says, and the very things they do understand, this is the handling thing, the very things they do understand by instinct, in other words, you just know this. I mean, a child knows this. As irrational animals know things, will destroy them. In other words, they continue to do this thing. And it's like the end of this thing is going to be, you're going to be snatched and forced to be in a bride to this crew over here, mm-hmm. you know? And they just continually, like unreasoning, irrational animals, doing this thing, acting like they know something. Next thing you know, you're being snatched into slavery.
Mm.
Your country's being taken over. You're having iftar dinners, you know, in your capital that has Judeo-Christian. And what happened in the context of all that? And he said, they'll destroy you. And so these very things by instinct, there's so many people right now who do not have any, they love God, you love God, but nobody's ever discipled you. I mean, you don't know exactly what to do, and you're looking for direction, and you're listening to people talking. You're thinking, if you preach one more message on grace, I'm going to scream. Mm. Look at my newspaper. Look what's going on. Something's happening inside of me. Like Pastor John Kilpatrick talks about, where's the sense of urgency? But inside you have this instinct that, you know, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make it if we don't turn around. And that's a good thing. That's And he says, but these folks don't even have that. They ignore what you're feeling inside of you. They ignore. It's like, I'm going to stand in front of the car. It's going 100 miles an hour, and I'm not going to get hit. Right. Your instinct's going, you're a stupid man, and you're going to get hit, but I will call rescue, you know, when you're flattened out on the road, right?
Right.
Flattened out, like roadkill. And then he responds to these guys, and he's talking about them. So we're contending for the faith. Don't look like you're contending. It's important because the religious, these people who slid in, they'll get you to focus on people outside the church, and they'll tell out the church gathering of people, and they'll get you to focus and say, they're your problem, and you need to judge them. You need to deal with them. But what Paul was saying, what Jude was saying, and what Jesus even said, he said, even from your own number, you have to watch out for those who are walking and got delivered like the Jews got delivered out of Egypt, but not all of them were believers. Not all of them were into what God was doing, and God destroyed them. These are our examples, he said. So some of the other attributes, he says, listen, this is how God thinks about these guys. He says, woe to them. He says, they have taken the way of Cain. In other words, they rather kill a brother than to repent to a brother, to be opened up to a brother and be able to say, you know what? You know, I was jealous of you. I was jealous of you. And when I saw what happened with you, Abel and God, and what happened, I was just jealous. But instead, you rather just kill them with your mouth and just say these terrible, horrific things. And it's like, way of Cain, whoop, whoop, warning. And he says, and they rushed to profit like Balaam. And so they're selling their gift. How many people are selling their gift today? Mm-hmm. What's the pay? What's the salary package, as Steve Hill would say? We're not talking lettuce. He would say, you know, what's a salary package? It's like, are you really, are you, your answer to if God is calling you is, you know, what is the Balaam package?
Mm.
That's, you know.
How much?
How much?
How much?
Everything. Cost you everything. Everything, he said, to be his disciple. And then he said, and these are the attributes. So you have people, these people who slid in amongst us are the ones who are like killing their brother, like Cain. They don't care. They're walking around sad, downcast, miserable, and just killing folks. Secondly, they're looking for profit. How can I make money here? How can we make money here? Giving units, one man said, up in the Northwest. And they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. So you have the crew that are the organizers, the ones we talked about in Alinsky and, you know, organizers of darkness. They try to organize God's people against God's leadership. We have those guys. Mm. And they think, hey, if I get enough people going with me, we can get our way here and we can say it's God. And besides, it is God because I got a word on the backside of a flyer that came blew past my. Anyway, so, and he says, these people are blemishes at the love feast. In other words, yeah, they show up and they eat without qualms. They have no problems. Mm. Like they're living this life totally opposite of what God says, not a believer in God, and showing up like they are. Eating without a slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed themselves, in other words, just like this atheist pastor that was reported on ABC News. I mean, he was saying, I'm here because I don't have a job, but I'm an atheist. I don't believe that there is a God,
mm-hmm.
but I am telling these people about a God I don't believe. But he was feeding himself. I mean, he did have a little black line across his. You can see this on the VFN torch. It's a true story. And so it was the occupation, face melting. He says, these people, he says, they're like clouds without rain. They're blown along by the wind. They're like autumn trees without fruit, uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves on the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars from whom the blackest of darkness, think about this, for whom the blackest of darkness has been reserved forever. In other words, you can just relax and know that God will deal with these folks. But secondly, you have to know you cannot be in unity with somebody who's serving darkness. Mm. I mean, even though they're wearing a religious attire, you cannot be in unity with that. Because how can he says if a nation is divided and if a home is divided, Jesus said, it won't stand. If you're walking with somebody who is divided from the ways of God, in other words, this is their description, you can't successfully contend for the faith. It's going to fail. It's not going to succeed. So it's better to find three people who are followers and lovers of God and five stones and defeat the enemy than it is to have 1,000 people who is filled with these, mm-hmm. you know, twice uprooted, dead, whatever's, you know, mm-hmm. in the context of it. And if you're going to fight, you know, I'm talking about spiritually, if you're going to fight, it's easier to fight with somebody that's on your side instead of going home every night and fighting with somebody in your own household, somebody in your own church gathering, somebody at your own office. You know, you shouldn't have hired that person. You knew, even though they professed one thing, they did another. It's time to begin to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to walk in agreement with those who are walking in agreement with God because I got to contend for this faith. And that's what we have to do in America right now. We're being handled. The handling is for this, like they did to the bride in the earlier program. They want us to renounce our faith.
Hmm.
They want us just to let go of our faith. That's all they want. Just let go of the faith. Everything's going to be fine as long as you deny Jesus Christ. That's it. And it's like, we can't do that. We're going to have to contend for the faith. And we're going to wrap this up and get back from this break. But this is what's really going on. And so we're being handled because by these insiders who are, and by the way, it's not wrong for you to identify an insider who's being controlled by Lucifer. It's not wrong. That's not negative. That's positive. It's positive for you to say, you know, do what they say, but don't do what they do. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that.
All right.
Because if they're gonna take you down and cause you to lose your fight of faith, I mean, you got to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
But so what's happening, man? It's beautiful weather, is it not?
Absolutely gorgeous weather. I was in the Bronx the other night, and I'm driving back, and I'm thinking, my gosh, I love nothing like the cool weather. And I was telling Eddie, I could drive over this George Washington Bridge 1,000 times and never get tired of looking at the beautiful New York skyline. I mean, it was just like one of them days, you know, it was just like, oh, this is gorgeous.
I'm scarred from that because all I can remember is that poor little egg. I just think about the pain and the tragedy that bridge represents.
My goodness, Pat. we're in beautiful Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is the New Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge. Mm-hmm. Before you cross it and head over to Manhattan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at, you know, gorgeous Manhattan as we're, you know, walking around Fort Lee, this actually awesome historic park that's right there, which mm-hmm. which wars were fought right there. You know what I'm saying? George Washington was right there. It's just amazing. And he says, I'm walking. He says, I crushed. What'd you say I crushed?
Well, you ran up and saw this egg. It fell out of a little nest. This little tweety little bird is going like, oh, my egg. And it kind of.
It's just, like a little caterpillar thing that I stepped on by accident. And, but you know what? I'll give it to him.
It was an ostrich egg.
Listen, Pat, I'll give it to him. He has so much compassion.
I was looking over my shoulder.
I mean, he sat down on one knee. And he's like, the egg. Oh, I'm like.
There was so much potential in it, you know. As you can see, there could be future, you know, flocks flying over the community, you know, future pigeon deposits over the statues, you know. And well, think about the city, you know, down in other parts of the country, you know, there's rats and rodents. And, you know, obviously, they have them too, but they have a different kind of rat in the city that has wings. They fly. Don't feed the rats. And it's like the pigeons just come and they just relieve themselves over everything. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, they'll relieve themselves over you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about contending for the faith, and what's really, if we think about what's really taking place right now in America, in the world, and what we've been really speaking about over quite some time is our faith is being challenged. Mm-hmm. Who do we have faith in? Do we have faith in Jesus Christ? Do we have faith that he can keep us? Do we have faith that even if we get thrown in the furnace and don't get delivered from the furnace, that he'll still deliver us to eternal life, that we will live with him forever? But he can't deliver us from the... Do we have faith in God? I mean, that's being challenged. Mm-hmm. It's our faith mm-hmm. that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And when we talk about defending the faith, it's so easy. I mean, you just see people today, they're going like, we got to change the world. And it's like, but did you look at us? Mm-hmm. Did you look at our marriages? Did you look at our families? Right. Did you look at what's being preached from the pulpits around us? But why? How can we go out there and say the world's wrong? And we didn't even look amongst us. We had some people that slipped in amongst us.
Oh.
That's against God and his ways. And we're not saying anything about that, but we're going out to a world that God, you know, Paul said, don't judge the world. God will judge the world. He says, it's you, yourselves.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, we got to check ourselves to see if we're in the faith, that we're contending for the faith. And so he says, Paul said, I warned you for three years, day and night with tears. The enemy is going to be from within. It's going to be people who say they're followers of Jesus Christ, who say they heard from God, who say they got a vision from God, who say all these different things, but they're not. They're of the devil. And there's people that are of God, and they are hearing the vision. They are hearing clearly, but there's people who prostitute those words, those vocabulary, and those experiences, and use them for their own gain. I mean, they hunt up they, you know, they're like Googling prophetic words and claiming them as their own and repeating them as if they were theirs.
All right.
Like, that was on the Elijah list. Anyway, so, and he goes on, he says, these people, the last parts of these attributes here in Junius, he's talking about these ones who are from within. He says, these people are grumblers and fault finders. I mean, think about them. They're strifeful. Mm. They're stirring up strife inside the body, the gathering. And so there's never, oh my goodness, so-and-so is going to be here, right? And it's like, somebody needs to speak truth. I don't want to be anywhere anymore that I can't openly say what God says in a church gathering. Now, I'm not talking about the world. I can't be around people who say they're believers that I can't just say what Jesus says.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's going to be restricted in the gathering I'm in, I'm not going to be in that gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are over, Jay-Z, right?
Oh, yes.
Right. Those are over.
Oh, yes.
You know, if it gets your feelings hurt, hopefully it'll get you gone or get you saved. Because if somebody says what God says and you get offended, you got to find out, why am I offended with God?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got to just be able to, you know, you got to be able to do it. We got to stay free. We got to stay free. And so then, you know, these last parts of these attributes, they follow their own evil desires. I mean, you think about all those people that are like, hey, I got the next big thing. This thing's going. It's like, you're like the wind. I mean, there's something always you're doing, something else. You know, it's just amazing what's happening. And they boast about themselves. Did I ever tell you about we were like, Pat and I were having lunch somewhere, and we saw someone we hadn't seen in quite some time. And we're talking about, have you heard the world could be ending any moment? Did you see what's happening in Israel and these different things like this? And they come out and go, you know, I got a big house. You got nice clothes.
Wow.
And I live in a nice neighborhood. And we're like, yep. Okay. I'm like, right. Okay. All right. Okay. And you need to know that's not right. But still that happens. Because this person would tell you today that they're a follower of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, and they flatter other people for their own advantage. And flattery is lying to you to get what they want. And it's amazing. It's a lie. And it's a lie that's got flowers with it. It's still a lie. And it's for gain. Maybe it's gain by, you know, you accept them, or maybe they get money from you. I mean, how many ministers today that you know, if you spoke clear truth, that you would lose so-and-so in your gathering.
Mm.
You know, you may lose your job, you know. But so you actually back off what you should have said, that you didn't even have an option to back off. Because God revealed that to you in your study. You read it in the Word of God. It's in context. And you should have said it. But all of a sudden, the devil comes and reminds you of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you edited what God said. And then you flattered everybody there. Because you want so-and-so to stay in your gathering. You did that for your own advantage. You have to be willing every day to preach like it's the last time you'll ever speak, to understand that you might not have tomorrow to ever say what you got to say, so you got to get it all out. You want to make sure that, you know, if you were to drop dead at that one moment, if they were to fire you and say you can't minister here anymore, or they would kick you out of town and stone you like they did Paul, that you would have known, I did everything I can do in that town, in that city, in that relationship, in that gathering, because you're going to face God and answer for it. But if you adjust your message so you can keep your job, you're one of the blemishes at the love feast. You need to repent. And you need to say, you know what, God, I'm ready. And you need to get rightly related with somebody who's been walking that way already, because you're going to need, you may come over the wrong way in religious, instead of because you're, you know, overreacting to something. You got to get used to speaking the truth in love. But it's going to land toughly with people, even though you're doing your best to try to present it to bring people into that particular truth. But if you just all by yourself and you've never adjusted, you never stopped adjusting your message, and all you did was preach flattery from your pulpit. I'm telling you now, I mean, God, you know, spoke to me. He said, this particular thing is going to be going on. And people would come to my office door, and ministers would come, and they would repent for what I'm telling you about. And I had a pastor come to my office door with his podium. Didn't I?
Sure did.
With his podium that he had preached these things from for years. And he said, you know, and whatever, you know, he said, and I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want it, Lord. And I said, well, if you give it to me, this is what we're going to do with it. He goes, let it have. And he stood right by that thing. And he said, listen, you know, adjusting your message and making people feel good, and it's paraphrasing, does not change people. You got to preach truth. But the thing about when you preach truth, you find out how many people really want the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out what the disciples found out when they were freaking out when Jesus preached truth, I think in John chapter 6. And then everybody left. There was only 12 there. And they're thinking, you cannot keep preaching messages like this. Do you know how long it took us to get this crowd here? And then Jesus says, what about you guys? Mm-hmm. Are you all going to hang around here? And Peter said, where else can I go? You have the keys to eternal life. That's the commitment that we have. This whole thing is about us contending for the faith, not religion, but for faith. And we were known by our love for God and our love for each other and our desire to lead other people to a loving relationship with God. This is what it's about. We got to begin to identify. Everybody that calls himself a Christian is not going to fight on your side and is not on God's side. You know them by their fruit, he said. You know them by their fruit. It's time for us to stand up and quit being handled by the adversary. Repent and say, you know, God, here I am. I am going to contend for the faith. There's something compelling me, just like Jude wrote about. He said, I'm compelled now to write to you about this. I was going to write to you about this other thing, but I don't write to you about this. I am compelled to tell you it's time to defend your faith. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes, oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. get into your right now where you're at and your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.